9 o'clock hour, Willie's House, with Brian Balaga as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better. Begins now. The Packers will kick off practice at 10:30. I do not have any windows in my office, so I don't know if it's raining or not. We'll see if they're out on Ray Nitschke Field or inside the Don Hutson Center. Matt LaFleur did speak to reporters. A couple of highlights from that we'll get to. But first, Jesse, you had a couple of text messages on the talking text line that you wanted to share.
Yeah, it's been kind of a mixed review on the Jordan Love situation going on the last couple of days.
Interesting.
So we had some fun yesterday with the while you were attending the press conferences, fans were weighing in on their instant thoughts on the hold-in for Jordan Love. Here's one from Pete in Oshkosh. Anytime you're comparing anybody to Tom Brady, it usually feels like an outlier, but here we go. Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls while only being the 12th or 13th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Why do quarterbacks always think they need to be so highly paid? Brian Bulaga?
I would like to see those stats or the breakdown of that if he was the 12th or 13th highest paid quarterback during his tenure. I don't know.
I don't think that's right.
I don't know if that's true. And listen, I knew Tom Brady took some sweetheart deals. Like, I know he did, but there's no way he was outside the top 6 guys being paid at the quarterback position while he was playing. He may not have been number 1 or number 2 or 3, but I can't believe he was 12th or 13th. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe is accurate, but I don't
know. I think we had Matt, we had Mike Reese from ESPN on years ago during the Rodgers stuff, and he is the Rob Domofsky of the Patriots beat, except he's better. And he said,
"Oh snap!"
Rob knows that's a joke, although he probably also knows it's true. But he said there was a mythology to that. Like the way that things were structured and the timing of renegotiations made it look like he was taking a lot less than market value, when in reality it was probably a little bit less than market value. So to your point, I think that's a little misleading there.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. And, like, he went to Tampa and got paid, too. It's not like he was making pennies compared to other top quarterbacks when he went to Tampa. So, like, I'm not totally sure that's true. I'll just say that. But to his other question, why do quarterbacks believe they need to be paid so highly? Because that's the way the market's been set, and that's the way it goes. And they are the most important position on the team. If you don't have one, you can't win, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not winning games. And that's just the way it goes. You don't even have a chance to win games. So while their salaries are getting enormous and outracing every other position in the league, that's the way the market's trending, and you got no one else to blame but the teams themselves, right? Like, you can't blame the individual themselves, right? Like, you can't blame the players. You got to look at the teams. They're paying these things out, right? Like, and it all started with Deshaun Watson and the Browns. Like I said, go start blaming the Browns. They started this thing that quarterbacks are being paid so much money that now the market's been set, and everyone's going to be chasing that. And that's the way it goes.
Jesse, what's the other text that jumped out at you?
Yeah, this one's from Brandon in Tulsa. Jordan saw the Packers keep him behind Rodgers at all costs, refused to give him the fifth-year option because he wasn't worth it at the time, and now they're playing hardball while saying they want him. I think Jordan is done playing nice and will hold out until he gets what he wants. That's from Brandon in Tulsa. You think there's more consternation here than it sounds?
So I again, and Brian's heard me say this, I always feel like I have to address the possibilities that maybe sometimes Packers fans don't want to hear. And so the kind of unanimous, united front that we heard of, oh, it's close, and, you know, we want Jordan here, and all the things that Goody and LaFleur said yesterday, that's all great. But they're not the ones that actually negotiating the contract. Russ Ball is. And while I'm sure they are apprised of what's happening, if there is a fundamental disagreement, as Brian said, on how much guaranteed money should be paid out, that will be a stumbling block. And it will not be as easy as snapping your fingers. And when these guys all have Thursday off as the mandatory day off after three ramp-up practices, that suddenly Jordan Love is going to be under center on Friday. There's no guarantee of that. Now, I think it's more likely than not that this takes less time. But again, to Brian's point that he's been making, the idea of saying, okay, we know Jordan's our franchise quarterback, which is what Goody said in response to my question yesterday. It's not like we're trying to make that decision. It's about structure, he said, about being able to field the team around him, he said. But in my heart of hearts, my thought is, it's about protecting the team if we are wrong about him and he's not as good as we think he is. I don't think that's the likely scenario by any stretch. I think he is going to be a very good franchise quarterback. But as I've been saying for a while, it's the Packers' job to protect themselves in case they're wrong and in case the bottom falls out. So how do you do that? You don't guarantee as much money as the Cleveland Browns did, as the Los Angeles Chargers did, as the Detroit Lions did to Jared Goff. He got $175 million guaranteed. So you look at what I keep going back to this. And Jesse, I know we need to get to break and I want to get to some other stuff. But you keep going back to Trevor Lawrence and Tua. Trevor Lawrence got $142 million guaranteed. That's the real guarantee in his deal. That's $30 million less than what Jared Goff got, because I don't think the Jaguars are as certain about him as they would like to be. You look at the Dolphins with Tua. That has gotten to be somewhat acrimonious, it appears, because I don't think the Dolphins, who tried to pursue Tom Brady, by the way, are as convinced that Tua is as good as his stat line. And so when the team is not as sure as they want you to believe they are, then they're going to try and save themselves in case they are wrong and in case those fears are realized and the quarterback turns out to not be as great as they're hoping that he is. Now, again, I don't think that's the case with Jordan Love, but they have to do their job to protect themselves in case that does turn out to be the case. All right, we will continue to roll on here. There were a couple of things that I asked Goody and LaFleur that I want Brian to hear. Plus, we want to get to training camp practice, which is coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to stick around a little longer than that. Want to remind you, if you need legal advice, there's only one place to go, and that's Gruber Law Offices. Hopefully, you never have to make the one call, that's all. But if you do, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more about what David and his team are doing in our communities and what they will do for you. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Some of the things that Matt LaFleur said this morning when I head down to practice a little bit later in the program. But I did have an exchange with him yesterday talking about kind of where this team is at and Love's absence. I want Jesse to play that. I want to get Brian's reaction to it. Here is part of our Q&A session with Matt LaFleur yesterday.
And Matt, you guys had such a great off-season vibe, right? You had such great attendance and everything. In any way, does this put a damper on that, or do you feel like your guys are probably supportive of Jordan, one, and then two, that they're just in a really good place.
Yeah, right? I think the overall vibe of the team, like we had a great team meeting yesterday. There's a lot of energy in the building right now. I just think anytime you talk about the character of the football team and why that's so important, I think you can feel it from our guys. And, you know, each individual, especially early on, I mean, we all got a lot to work on. And so I think if we keep the focus there and then obviously not allow that to become a distraction, I think it's imperative. And, I mean, we talked about that today.
Kind of talked during the offseason about how it's great that you guys finished the way you did, but that doesn't mean anything moving forward. Was that kind of the theme to your conversation with your team yesterday, or what was your messaging?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always go over the objectives of training camp and obviously getting back into football shape, kind of forging our identity, getting ready for week one and beyond. That's a big part of it. I think the connection of a team is paramount. That's why we have these guys all staying in the same place together to give them a little bit more time with one another. But I think everything we do matters. The work that we put in, how deliberate we are about our practice, how intentional, mindful, how we're going about our business each and every day. I think the habits that we create are going to help forge the identity that we want on the field.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the vibe quickly and, again, get your feeling as a former player. But he did say something there that, I'll be honest, I didn't hear him say when he was answering, and that was about the connection of the team being paramount. That's why we have these guys all staying together in the same place to give them a little more time with each other. That, to me, and now I need to follow up on this, that sounds to me like we're back to the old days, not at St. Norbert College like in your time, but in a hotel together as opposed to everybody being able to stay, you know, in their homes or their apartments or whatever else, which had been the trend in the last couple of years. You did the short beds at St. Norbert College and all that sort of thing. Is there value in that to you?
You know, personally for me, no. And like, I say that because, especially early in training camp, like, you get to the dorms and go to bed. Like, there's really no hanging out, right? Like, you're out of meetings at like 9:30-ish, and then you're going right to the dorms and going to bed. Now, In the back half of camp, when Coach McCarthy always went to a regular season schedule and he was trying to get guys to adjust and we were still in the dorms, then yes, later on in camp when we had way more time after meetings to kind of hang out, play video games and do all those types of things together and just kind of sit out in the main courtyard area in the St. Norbert's dorm, then yeah, that was when a little more team building and bonding would happen and guys would be spending more time with each other. But early on in camp, man, you're exhausted. You just want to get back to the dorm and try to get some sleep because, you know, it takes forever to fall asleep in those dorm beds or cots, whatever they were. So I would be interested to see if all guys are actually staying at whatever hotel, or are some veteran players at home and they get to stay in their own place. I'd be interested to see if that's the case. So maybe like years four and under are at this hotel and everyone above, which isn't a lot of guys these days, about 5 years and up,
right.
are at their houses. So I'd be interested to see what the specifics are on that. But yeah, I didn't enjoy staying in the dorms.
Okay, like, fair enough.
And listen, the St. Norbert staff, I mean, they did everything they possibly could to make it a great stay and as comfortable as they can get it. But I didn't really enjoy the dorms until it was almost done, because then I knew camp was winding down and we had more time. But I will say what he said about the energy and kind of the character of the football team, in camp, especially early on, guys are worried about themselves and getting themselves mentally prepared and physically prepared and getting in and out of practices and get like detailing their work, right? Like, sure, everybody would love Jordan Love on the field, but you go out to training camp practice, you're working on yourself. You're working on your game. You're working on, you know, especially offensive linemen, the guy next to me. Am I getting my reps with my guard? Am I hearing the center make his calls? And are we assignment sound? If it was Aaron throwing passes or whoever throwing passes, like, that's great. But I got to work on blocking Clay Matthews or Julius Peppers mm-hmm. or Zadarius or whoever. Like, I got to work on my fundamentals and get my game ready to go week one. So if it was Aaron at quarterback or whoever, hey, like, listen, Aaron Rodgers has a different snap count than all the other quarterbacks. Yeah, I would love Aaron to be back there because the timing of his cadence and the rhythm is all good to get ready for week one. But where that ball gets thrown in the air has no impact on me. I got to make sure that I'm blocking the guy in front of me. I'm working my details, and it's the same thing as the receivers. Yeah, they want passes from Jordan Love, but they got to get in and out of their breaks, run the right routes, and if the ball comes to them, they got to be ready to catch it. So, like, at the end of the day, he's 100% spot on. Guys are getting themselves ready right now, and that's what training camp is each individual guy making sure that what they're doing is correct and that they're ready to go week one. Now, yeah, you want the whole team out there, but Jordan Love taking snaps under center is not going to impact the right tackle, the left tackle, the right guard, the left guard. Now with the center, yes, because the center is interacting with the quarterback every single play. That is a difference for the center, for sure, 100%. But, like, if the backup QB is making adjustments, the O-line makes the adjustment, and they run the play. Like, it's – I'm not saying it's insignificant during training camp because, like, yeah, you want to get the reps, but – it kind of is insignificant because you're worried about the play call, your assignment, and blocking the guy in front of you, and with the receivers as well. Like, if there's a route adjustment or just basically the play that's called, you're worrying about beating your guy that's in front of you. So he's right. Like, the energy's good. They understand where they're at with Jordan Love and what he's doing. But at the end of the day, training camp's guys getting ready to go play week one, and they're focused on their job and getting ready to go.
Well, you managed to talk about the offensive line, which I'm thinking you probably were kind of like me with when Tausch has got different topics and we're not talking Packers. I get a little hivey, and I don't mean the grocery store. I want to get to Zach Tom because obviously you have been a big proponent of him, and he was able to do some individual drills. He is not doing the team work yet, but this is certainly a big step toward him being back in his rightful spot at right tackle. We will talk about Zach Tom with Brian Belaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Practice is underway down at Ray Nitschke Field. We'll bring you the sights and sounds. Training camp horn, for example, in a little while. But Brian, the big news yesterday, because I'll be honest, I was surprised. I was a skeptic. Zach Tom is participating in practice. Now, he's not doing 11-on-11. But he did some individual drills, and he's coming back from that torn pectoral muscle, which he did while bench pressing in April. He's a few weeks ahead of Tucker Kraft, who is on the PUP. He is not practicing. Are you, A, surprised, and, B, how encouraging is this that Zach Tom, even with limitations, is back out there already?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that he was taken off any PUP list or anything that he was on during OTAs, and that he's a participant. And I understand it's very limited, and it may be limited for a few weeks. I know how this training staff works and Doc McKenzie, and they're going to be very cautious with it. And he'll ramp up from day to day. I don't think, and you'll be able to watch it in real time, but I can't see him taking team reps anytime soon. I think they're going to let him do individual work for a minimum a week, maybe a little bit more, to really get a good gauge on where he's at and how that pec is feeling and how everything is going. But I'm encouraged by it. It makes me think that he's it's healing properly, and whether or not, you know, sometimes guys have a tendency, which I did, to kind of exaggerate how they're feeling to be out on the field and to be part of camp and practice and make sure that they're, you know, out there with their teammates. But this training staff is good. They're going to make sure that he is 100% when he's, by the time he's taking, you know, live team reps, so to speak. So I'm very encouraged by it. It's really good. And it makes me a lot more confident with the group that we're going to see against Philadelphia in week one. Yesterday, though, who were the starting five that you saw that started out team drills? Like, who were the five guys that rolled out there to start it?
So left to right, it was Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, Andre Dillard, the former first-round pick by the Eagles. Now, they shuffled after that. They did some, you know, Elton played some center toward the end of practice. I thought it was really interesting that they felt like they didn't have to force Jordan Morgan into working with the ones right away, because the logical thing is to say, okay, well, we don't know when Zach's going to be cleared to play. Let's get the first round pick some extra work. And they didn't do that. And I always bring you up with that because it allows me to take a shot at your predecessor and say that you sat behind a broken down, old, almost washed right tackle in Mark Tauscher, which of course I'm kidding in case he hears this. But they didn't rush you. And it was the right way. I mean, by the end of the year, you were the youngest guy to ever start a Super Bowl, right? And so I thought it was interesting that they went Dillard. I think it tells you that they are not going to look past whatever shortcomings Jordan Morgan has that he needs to improve upon technique-wise just to get him out there because he's a first-round pick. So I thought that was really telling that that was their starting five. Would you agree?
I mean, it shows you where they think Morgan is right now, and that's day one of camp, right? Like, he probably took, what, all his reps at left tackle. If I had to take a wild guess, he was probably taking all his reps at left tackle, or did he move around?
I'll be honest, I did not, with where I'm standing doing the show, I was able to see how they started. I did not see every rep he took, but he did take reps at left tackle, and I do think that they would like him to get the majority of the work there. But I think they're going to rotate him in at right guard to protect against if Sean Ryan is not as good as they think he might be. They are definitely going to move him around throughout camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think early on in camp, while he's trying to get settled with now, which will soon to be with pads on and not just grasping the mental aspect of learning an NFL offense, but also the physical nature of it now going against, you know, NFL defensive ends. They want him to get comfortable at one position to start, and then we'll probably start moving him around a touch and letting him take reps at right tackle and more so guard, like you mentioned, because the last thing you want to do with a first-round pick, there's obviously always going to be expectations that he should be ready to start and ready this, is you know, kind of crush his confidence early on. The last thing you want to do is throw him out at right tackle where he's not totally comfortable and he's getting beat every other play and it starts to affect his confidence and technique. And then you just start to see a guy trying to survive instead of trying to thrive, right? So I think it's good that they're starting him at left tackle. Let him get comfortable. Let him get settled. Let him get these reps underneath his belt. And then probably as camp starts to mature a little bit, you'll start to see him maybe shift out to right tackle, take some reps there. And Zach Tom is clearly going to be back, so that is not going to be a question that we're asking. Is Zach going to be ready for week one? Clearly he will be ready for week one. Where can Jordan Morgan take reps to be comfortable in this system early on? And then can we expand his repertoire of positions that he can play as the business end of camp moves on and we're in pads and joint practices and things like that?
Practice is underway at Ray Nitschke Field. It is raining, so I'm going to have to wear a poncho when I head down. Maybe grab an umbrella. You know, I'm like sugar. I'm tough. But one piece of interest, and again, I'm sure that this is not meant to be anything to cause alarm, but the Packers have added another quarterback. Jacob Eason has been signed, so they have three quarterbacks now to go through practice. Jacob Eason's addition comes at the expense of former Badgers long snapper Peter Bowden. He was released to make room for the third quarterback. So read as much or as little into that as you wish. I'm sure the Packers would like to tell you that this is not – it was just too much of a workload yesterday. And Sean Mannion, he just – you know, since he retired, he doesn't have the arm strength to be throwing during drills. So Jacob Eason, who was with them during the rookie camp on a tryout basis, has been added. The Packers now will have three quarterbacks at today's practice. It'll be Eason, obviously Sean Clifford, and Michael Pratt, their third round pick. All right. I will head on down there. Brian and Jesse will play trivia. Jesse, what's the category and which caller would you like?
Yeah, this is fun today. So in addition to being Packers training camp, it is also the opening day of Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis, where Alex Stroff is hanging
on
out.
The river.
Yeah, there's a big duck
Oregon
on the river.
A giant duck.
And it's the first year of the expanded Big Ten featuring our new West Coast friends. So today's trivia category, our new Big Ten friends. With Bulaga being
We've got some famous friends that you've heard of. And they used to play in the Pac-12, and now they're in the Big Ten.
And they've scored more points than Iowa, typically. So
we'll have some fun. Oh, he just can't help
himself. Yeah, well, you know, it's our
thing. So how many, Jesse, help me out with this. How many teams are in the Big Ten now?
18
teams in the Big Ten Conference. 18 teams. So we will take caller 18 to play trivia. Caller 18 in honor of the Big 18. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 18 right now will play trivia with Jesse and Brian. I will head down in the rain to Packers practice. They will play trivia, and then I will rejoin you to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. So stick around and play some trivia on Wilde and Tausch.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Jason Wilde on his way down to Packers training camp practice day two. Can't wait to hear his insights from practice. In the meantime, it's Jesse and Bulaga hanging out. Yeah, this is the show everyone's always wanted.
All right.
Nelson and Bulaga having a blast as we get set to play Wildy and Tausch trivia. And we get to even have some fun at the expense of the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up in just a second. Let's welcome in today's trivia contestant. It is Tim in Madison. Tim, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. Sorry, Jason can't be here to talk to you. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
We are wonderful. Could you name all 18 Big Ten teams if we put you on the spot with 60 seconds to do it? I'm not going to make you, but just say yes or no, could you?
No, absolutely not.
Brian, could you? If we had to name all 18?
No. Nope, too many teams now. Too many teams.
Well, we'll see how you do on these three questions with Big Ten Media Days going on down in Indianapolis. Luke Fickell actually meeting with the media in like 2 minutes. I think he's scheduled to talk with the press down in Indianapolis. We can, by the way, recap all of Big Ten Media Days tonight on ESPN Madison, 6 o'clock. Jim, Matt, and Molly take you up until 6, and then the Great Dane Huddle special edition with everything from Big Ten Media Days. Alex Stroh, our buddy, he was up in Green Bay yesterday, and he's down in Indianapolis today. He's just spanning the globe. Getting you set on all things Wisconsin sports, including the Badgers at Big Ten Media Days today. All right, Tim, question number one. Which of these new Big Ten teams played in college football's national championship last season? Was it Washington, Oregon, or Iowa, despite their offensive struggles?
Ridiculous.
Sorry, can you repeat the options again?
Sure, your three options. Who played in the Big, or which of these new Big Ten teams played in the national championship game last year? Washington, Oregon, or Iowa, despite their offensive struggles?
You said the national championship?
Yes, college football's national championship.
Okay. Well, I know it was Washington against Michigan, right? So I'm going to have to say Washington.
That is how you do it. That is correct, Tim. You're on the board with question one correct. Brian Bulaga, are you prepared for question number two?
I am. Tim, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Former NFL running back Deshaun Foster is entering his first season as the head coach of which new Big Ten team? Football team. Obviously, that's the topic we're on. Is it USC, Washington, or UCLA?
UCLA.
Two for two, Tim. And we didn't play trivia yesterday, so this is actually the start of a perfect week, which means I just jinxed you before we even get to the final question here. Question number three, our new Big Ten friends. Which opponent did the Oregon Ducks defeat in the Fiesta Bowl to cap off their 2023 season? Who did Oregon beat in the Fiesta Bowl? Was it Baylor, Liberty, or Tennessee?
Liberty.
I thought that would be a difficult question, and Tim, you knew that like instantly. Did you watch that game super intently, or like what was the deal?
Yeah, I'm a big college football fan. Your first question threw me off because I wasn't sure if you're asking about like the Big Ten game or the national championship
game. Yeah, Oregon defeated Liberty 45-6. It was a real barn burner. Wisconsin and LSU were playing at the same time. And Brian, I think there was another game going on simultaneously to that one, you may recall. I don't know if you were watching.
Yeah, probably the most views probably were the Iowa game because best fan base. So. Most people probably, even though that they struggled, I think most people probably watched the Iowa game.
How many points did Iowa score in that game against Tennessee?
I think they came short of scoring three, so...
Yeah? Oh, wow.
But that's last year. That's last year, and, you know, you could talk... I mean, like, the better question at Big Ten Media Day is when does Kirk Ferentz talk? Because that's actually the presser that... And you can talk about Fickell, that's cool, and all the recruits they got, but it's really when Kirk Ferentz hits the podium and what's going on in Iowa City is what most people are concerned about. It's going
to be another big year of optimism for Iowa with a 7-5 finish, there's no doubt. Every year is kind of the same for your Hawkeyes. Hey, Tim, you got all three questions right. That means you have all four of the possible entries into our trivia drawing on Friday. Good luck to you and happy college football season.
Hey, thank you. You too.
That is Tim in Madison, today's contestant for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Coming up next, Jason Wilde hosts Wilde and Tausch live in Green Bay as Packers training camp. Day two of practice is ongoing. Stick around. Wilde and Tausch continues in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere on ESPN Wisconsin.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.